In chapter 25 of Matthew, in verse 34, he says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came into thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, or unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no food. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer unto them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." And these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. That was the scripture he read to them. I don't know what happened after that. That's all he told me. He said, I heard it, and I asked a lot about it, and I just had to call you and tell you, because it reminded me of that time up there when you had to deal with that. Jimmy and I, we got called not long ago about a homeless minister that was coming through town. And the police were hassling him, trying to get him out of their jurisdiction. We found him a place to stay, helped him through the night. The next morning, we got him loaded up, and he said he was going south. We carried him down to the Lighthouse Church this side of Clanton. And he said that was a good place to start. In the ride down there, he told us that he had most of his trouble with two different classes of people: the preachers and the policemen. And he didn't hold any hard feelings against the policemen, because they were employed by a town and they had to abide by the ordinances of that town. But he said it really saddened him, the reaction of the preachers. He had stopped in a churchyard that morning after the deputies told him he was going to have to get out of town. And the preacher came out, and he told him he was a minister to the homeless, had been doing it for 30 years on the streets of Birmingham. But he said, "The weather's gotten so bad, all of them are in homeless shelters, and they won't let me preach there. I have to preach on the streets." So he said, "I'm heading down south where the homeless are out on the streets." He says, "It saddens me when the preachers do that." I remembered what the guy said 31 years ago as he was walking out of the yard. He turned and looked at me and said, "I guess I made a serious mistake. I thought that if I made it to a churchyard, that they wouldn't care if I used a little water out of their spigot." The guy Jimmy and I talked to said that Central Alabama He usually came from north down through central Georgia, and nobody bothered him over there. He hadn't been down through central Alabama in a long time because they were so rough on him over here. I live in central Alabama, folks. That's me. And I wish it was different. Now, you know as well as I know, if you know anything about salvation, you don't get born again by helping people who have needs. That's not the way it's done. One of the biggest leaders in the biggest denomination church in the world tried to tell us not long ago that it's all about being good. What is good? Your good is different than my good. So what good do I do? It's not about doing good, folks. You know as well as I do, it's about having faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel of His blood shed for each one of us. But it's a neat thing, an interesting thing, and I think some kind of way, as per the verse that we kind of used as our motto verse ever since this church started, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, "Let no man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, through the traditions of the world and are the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Paul takes Christ and puts Him over here and all this other stuff and puts it over here. All this other stuff that's done in churches. So what I'm trying to tell you today with our Savior, Jesus Christ, it's very, very important to Him how we deal with the needy of this world. The sick, the naked, the thirsty, and the hungry. And some kind of way, I've got written by that verse over in Colossians, sidetrack. Y'all have heard that word. We've used it around here a lot. Because see, that's what Satan's in the business of. We are already born again. He can't send us to hell. But I tell you, He can keep us from accomplishing what God wants us to do by just sticking us off in a little sidetrack, and we don't know even that we're on a sidetrack most of the time. I'm sure that all of these programs that churches are involved in now that don't have anything to do with Jesus were probably started with very, very good intentions, but in time they pulled the congregation completely away from Jesus, and now we've come to a place to where most born-again believers believe that their obligations to God is down at the local church. That if they go to church, and they've been to church, and maybe some of them if they've been to church on Sunday night, and then if they're really good Christians, they go on Wednesday night, that they have fulfilled the obligations of God on their lives. In some kind of way, and you've heard it like I've heard it, they seem to be able to do that and justify this thing of saying, when you go to them and ask for help about somebody that's been burnt out and lost everything, first word out a lot of them's mouth, "Well, didn't they have insurance?" That's a pretty good clue there who you're talking about. "Well, you just don't understand that person right there you're trying to help." And since I've been here and working in the community of Briarfield, I've had to deal with a lot of churches around. And some things I've found. Now, preachers and teachers and evangelists and deacons are people whom God has called specially and given a special job in the church. They can fulfill some of what God has for them by working in the church. But most everybody else, including those people also, their obligations are out there. And when you come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and can turn your back on somebody who needs you out there on the street, you hadn't done it. You see, it says that Jesus, I mean, this thing is, and this is what I messed up with. And that's the reason I'm telling you, I had to relearn my thinking. Because I thought that how somebody was related to their church is an indication of how good a Christian they were. It's not. It's their heart. Where do you see Jesus? Our churches and the Holy Spirit is designed by God to make us more like Jesus. Can you see Jesus in a person? What about that person that goes to church? Every one of you has said something about him or her. They go to church on Sunday, and Monday they back out there beating you in their business. I mean, we notice that. And it really bugs us. And that is, to some extent, I think, maybe to the most extent, the prevailing idea about all this. That we have ministries in the world. The Great Commission is go unto all the world and preach and teach and disciple. And the second greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. The treatment of the least of these, apparently by this scripture right here, is very, 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 I don't have time to go into all the berries, important to Jesus Christ. And that is the thing. And some of you people in this congregation have taught me that. Or I have never seen some of you, like some of you, that would take in people and raise them and help other people and deal with the sick in a town a long ways away from you. Deal with people of other colors, of other races, of other creeds, and think nothing about it. They needed help, and you gave it to them. And God has a job for us out in our each individual environment. See, you have a different environment than mine. You got different people. God intends for all those people to be reached by the gospel. And so as you go, you tell the people in your environment, at work, at the store, at the gas station, wherever you go. And if I do that, and you do that, and all of us do that, the gospel of Jesus Christ will saturate the area that's in each one of us's environment. There's some rules I've found in some churches in the area that I didn't know were supposed to be in a church. But they got them, because I don't know how many of you know, most of you regular ones know that around here we give almost all of our money away. Everything we take in, we give to people who have needs. And I tell you, there's a lot of needs in Briarfield. And there's a lot of needs that are brought to us by you people, wherever you happen to be. There's some folks in the community in their church that only minister to members of their church. One guy we helped by buying him some food said, I said, is anybody else helping you? He said, I went to another church. They've got one of these food pantries, and I asked them for a little bit of food. And they said they didn't give their food to anybody who wasn't a member of their church. We helped somebody, and I was chastised about it when the neighborhood found out about it, because they said, I don't know why you're helping them. They're never going to come to your church anyhow. I said, but you don't understand. We don't help people to try to get them to come to our church. Well, then why in the world would you help them? Because they have a need. By the way, that person that we helped was at the bottom of the social ladder. Since then, they've become born again. And they go into nursing homes and schools and involved in a church. It's the one that's giving away Bibles And I don't know how many we bought her. But she can give them away almost as fast as we can get them to her. A lot of church people don't like people with a bad reputation. Oh, you don't need to help him. You can't believe what kind of a person he is. Folks, let me tell you something. Most sin-sick people I know have a bad reputation. That's what sin does to you. It gets you involved in things. It gives you a bad reputation. If you're going to not help anybody with a bad reputation, you're going to have a small ministry. And I'll tell you this, I honestly believe it with all my heart. If you turn down one of those people that God called you to because they got a bad reputation, you won't get called again. A lot of them don't minister to a person of another race. The Good Samaritan story in our Bible took care of that issue right there. Because Jesus, in making up that story to give them the idea of what they're supposed to do, couldn't have used a person that Jews hated any worse than a Samaritan. They didn't even walk on the same side of the street with them. They wouldn't go in their houses with them. They wouldn't sit and eat in the same place they were eating. And the Jew was the one that got beat up on the road. And the Samaritan, the one they wouldn't have anything to do with, was the one that decided to help him after a priest and a lawyer, a Jew lawyer and a Jew priest, had already walked by him. A lot of churches don't like people who don't know how to act in church, or they don't know how to dress properly for church. I like what Jesus said about it. Take no thought about how you dress. You know what take no thought means? Don't even think about it. If you want to come to church, I told a local veterinarian not long ago, she said, I'd love to come to your church because I was down that way. I'd been on a call, but I had blood all over. I said, you come on. Won't bother anybody around there. And I'm pleased that I can say that because I've been in places where it'd bother people badly. There are people who don't minister to someone of another denomination. Well, where do they go to church? I don't know if they even go to church. All I know is God showed me they got a need. What are we going to do about it? There's one requirement in the Bible for a ministry, and that's need. Now, I had to learn because God is teaching me about this thing called obedience. And I tell you, it's a hard lesson when you got sympathy for somebody and God says, don't help them. You're not supposed to go and fulfill every need you know of. You can turn a circle and you'll see needs every way you turn. You can't fill them all. Just fill the ones that God's called you to. And there are people that God's got in the fire. He's cooking them till they get down to eating the husk in the hog pen, so they'll come back like the prodigal son did. And you don't want to pull them out before they're done. So that's the reason you've got to talk to him to find out where he wants you to minister. And there's been times when he said no, and I couldn't imagine why. But we couldn't do it. Jesus said, the poor will always be with you. So he understood that's a fact of life. And he said that when the lady was pouring that high-dollar oil on his feet. Judas spoke up, the one with the money, and said, that oil could have been sold and a lot of that money given to the poor. And that's when Jesus answered, the poor you'll always have. So they'll always be around us. That's the reason God told us to watch and pray. You watch to see what God is doing all around you, and then pray and say, Lord, there's that need there. This person is having problems. I know I'm supposed to pray for them, and I'm supposed to do anything else. You'll know if you watch and pray. You know, if you notice, Just about everybody that had a need in Jesus' day had something wrong with them. I don't know whether you ever isolated that thought or not. There are people who were lame and blind and mute and dumb and sick and had all kind of ailments. And there is a group of people today who prey on the churches, and you will run into some of them. So it's just responsible to check them out. But now let me say this. You may even need to minister to them anyway. But be careful about checking them out. Get them out of their jam and then check them out and see. Because God may not want you giving a check to somebody who's drawing 8 checks from 8 different churches in the area every month. We've seen that. So, there's a different group of people today, and there's some people that need to be taught. But whom God has called you to do, you do for. So I ask you this morning, is your heart looking for somebody that you can do something for? Is that the way you live? Are you so in tune with God that if He sends a problem your way, if He sends a person your way with problems, does He know enough about you and know what you are to know that all He's got to do to get somebody saved is to send them by you and you'll talk to them about Jesus? If somebody has a need, can He just send them in front of you and let you become aware that they have a need? Will you automatically take care of it? Have you learned yet that the blessings you have in your bank account, your finances as a New Testament Christian belong to God? They don't belong to you. And if Jesus feels this way, God does too. So you see, we can't get born again by helping other people. But He says that to help other people is a sign of being born again, because God changes your heart. And He says in 1 John, if you don't have love, you don't have Me. That's pretty good easy way to figure out. He says in 1 Corinthians, you don't judge one another because you don't know the motivation why they're doing stuff. They tell me some big companies tell their salesmen or whatever when they move to a new area to get involved as quick as they can with a big church. They'll find out that they'll sell a lot of stuff to people in that church that they come in contact with. So you see, you don't know the motivation of why people are doing something good. But still, if you're called, you can do it. And God can take that gesture and make it work for that person that you're dealing with. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know, and I know, that for the most part, people in church are good people. But out there, they don't believe that. They've seen the hypocrites. They've seen the people that act one way in church and act another way in the week. And I'll tell you this, they're watching you with both eyes. And they're checking you out to see, are you real? And you got to be real to make an impression on them. They've seen all the others. People who use their Christianity to try to get something out of it. But there's another thing that really bothered me that day that man walked out of the churchyard. It's bothered me ever since. And I'll tell you this, whether it should have or not, it has really been something that God has put in my heart that I watch very, very carefully. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds and are bound with them, and them who suffer adversity as being yourselves also in their body. You know, the neat thing about that scripture right there, it does not say that maybe you need to be real careful to look out for strangers, especially those in need, because maybe it could be an angel in disguise. Angels can appear to be anything they want to be. And some of you may remember the three that came to Abraham when on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had no idea to start with they were angels. So let me tell you this. The writer of Hebrews says, not maybe, that angels under instructions from God have made themselves look like a homeless man, like this preacher did in Texas, to check us out. I've made the statement before, and I think it's true, that if Jesus came walking down the street today, very few people would pick him up. Most folks would be like that minister to the homeless that we help. They'd wait till they had a chance to drive on around him and then look back and cuss him as they leave. So the point I want to make to you today, you may come to church every Sunday. You may come once a month. You may come once every 2 months. Bible doesn't have to say much about that. Regardless of what the church people tell you, it says, don't quit coming. Don't quit coming. Is the church valuable? Yes, sir, you bet it is. That's where we edify each other and we learn to be more like Jesus. That we pray as a group so our prayers will have more power. That we hear testimony from other people like today of what God has done in their lives, and we see that if He could do it in theirs, He can do it in ours. And to me, this testimony that we have in our church is so very important to each other, because especially those folks who are just beginning to find their faith and wondering what they can stick their neck out for, they see that other people sitting in church just like them are sticking their neck out, and they're getting things from God. God is ministering to them. And He'll do that for you. But like Granddaddy said, even a turtle doesn't get anywhere that he sticks his neck out. So it requires sometime a little bit of stepping out on faith. And like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, it never said anything about those disciples that were still in the boat. But you don't have to tell me. I've been around people for 71 years. And you know what? Those in the boat were making fun of him. Look at old Peter. He has to step out of the boat and showboat, you know. They made fun of him, and folks will make fun of you. But God says, if you do what I ask you to do, you will become a peculiar people, an odd people, people that don't act like everybody else around them. We're not supposed to. It's especially our love and our oddity that make other people understand just exactly who we are. And so then we've got to be very, very, very careful that when we do something and people tend to start bragging on us, that we point toward Christ. We have a rule around here. Every time we help somebody, the rule is, when you help them, you've got to tell them, Jesus is behind this, not us. And then He gets the glory, not us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for giving us Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for caring enough about us to get involved in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that You care enough about us to give us a message on Sunday morning. That You care enough for us that you want us to be the perfectness of Jesus Christ. Not just a pew sitter. Lord, bless this group of people. Change their hearts. Keep changing their hearts until they're like Jesus. Make us concerned for people who have needs. But Lord, more than that even, cause us to be obedient, that we don't fulfill a need just because we have sympathy, but because you directed us to take care of that need, that your goals in that person might be met. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.